Joe Farah is the head dude at WorldNet Daily, founder, editor of WorldNet Daily, a valuable news resource on the web at worldnetdaily.com, and we welcome him back to the program. And Mr. Farah, you were, I guess, the first to call attention to this odd, somewhat mysterious quote by Barack Obama made in Colorado Springs on July 2nd, just a couple of weeks ago. In the quote in which he says, "We cannot continue to rely on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives we have set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded as the military." How do you interpret that?
I don't know, Lee, but every time I read it or somebody else reads it, I get a good chuckle out of it. I mean, the irony, first of all, we still don't know what he was talking about. And we have really, I have to tell you, at WND, I've asked that we have a single staffer continue every day to hound the Obama campaign to get clarification on this. We've made contact with them repeatedly. We keep getting assurances that we're going to have that clarification, yet it has not been forthcoming, and we're going on like a week now. And, you know, the tremendous irony here from my point of view is that how many years, how many decades have we been hearing from particularly Democratic Party politicians that we spend too much on the military, right? And here we have an initiative of some kind of a vague, mysterious initiative to create some new incredible bureaucracy with, you know, no particular agenda that is going to cost more, at least as much as the combined military forces of this country. And we don't hear a peep about this. No curiosity whatsoever from the so-called mainstream media. And you know, we're going to continue to pound away, Lee, and try to get answers from the Obama campaign. But I do appreciate you raising this, because I got to tell you, if we're the only ones asking the question at WorldNet Daily, it's going to be easy for the Obama campaign to continue to stonewall us, ignore us, and I appreciate it when my colleagues in the media pick up on something like this, because it's, you know, if we continue to pound away together, we're going to get some answers.
Well, the fact that the Obama campaign does not want to answer, this may be something he has in mind that's totally harmless, but
yes,
the fact that he and his campaign don't want to explain what he meant, frankly, makes it sound more and more ominous.
Exactly. You know, probably what he had in mind, if you read the whole speech in context, and, you know, he's probably talking about a major, major expansion of the Peace Corps and some of these other do-gooder agencies. He has made some other speeches where he's alluded to expanding, you know, the Foreign Service in dramatic ways. Now, you could say that's innocent enough, except, Lee, if it's going to cost us as much as the combined military forces of the United States of America, that's going to break the budget. And so,
well, unless. He intends to reduce and diminish the military to the point where it's going to be nothing more than a police force. And frankly, I think he would be delighted to do that.
Right. But it's one of those things that, boy, you know, we've got a few months left here before the election. And this is, you know, we've heard some incredible initiatives from the Obama campaign. But this one sounds like it's as big as anything that he's talked about thus far, including the, you know, the big world tax, where we're, you know, going to tax.
We're going to solve poverty in the world. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's kind of scary, but there's a lot about this guy that's kind of scary. Let's for a moment here, let's play the most popular political game in the country. Let's choose up sides and blame somebody for gasoline prices. Where would you start?
Well, I would start with the government, number one, federal government, which, and you know, you can go right down the line, state taxes as well. You know, we've done a couple of stories on the fact that the oil companies, make less per gallon in profit than government does. And so when you go and you pump a gallon of gasoline, you're probably, in California, you're probably paying 60 to 70 cents per gallon to various government agencies. And that is far more than, believe me, the oil companies probably not making more than a nickel per gallon at this point. And so, you know, I like to start with government. Government is also, of course, restricting exploration for domestic oil reserves and pumping of those reserves. You know, and then, of course, you can also throw in the environmentalists maybe as number two a problem, because you know they don't want us to produce any kind of energy of any kind, whether it's nuclear, oil, coal. Everything is off limits unless it's solar or, you know, wind power.
Windmills, yes, that's going to solve everything.
Yeah.
Well, just as a practical matter, from the standpoint of the money grubbing politicians, of which California has more than an abundance, they don't have any reason to want lower prices, do they?
No, they don't. I think that there is a concerted effort by the Congress of the United States, by many liberal politicians in California and across the nation, to, you know, stress out the economy right now, and thinking that that is going to play into their hands in November. I don't think they want the American people to be thinking that you know, a economic recovery is in the cards. And you know, I think if there were a major initiative announced that we were going to start exploring for domestic oil big time in this country, a lot of Americans would breathe a sigh of relief, and knowing that it's not, you know, the answer is not right around the corner, but they would still say, okay, we're headed in the right direction. I'm not too worried about the future of this country. But, you know, as things stand with the Democrats in Congress absolutely taking a stand opposing this, as gas prices are, you know, approaching $5 a gallon, I think Americans truly are very, very concerned. I mean, Lee, I'm sure you know, as I know, people who are just, you know, afraid to get in the car at this point because they can't afford to drive anywhere except to their, you know, their office and back. And that is a bad situation for this country. And when you consider how, you know, oil truly is the lifeblood of our economy, and there's no change in that. You can wish it wasn't so, but it is so for the foreseeable future.
One thing that I find very frustrating,
mm-hmm.
John McCain has had the issue for this campaign dumped right in his lap, and he has done so little with it. He's got to be the most inept politician ever to run for president.
Yeah, well, either that or he is, you know, pretty much ideologically in sync with the other side of the aisle, which is certainly a possibility. It would be right in line with what we've, you know, seen from John McCain for the last 15 years or so. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, all he'd have to do at this point to assure his election in November would be to take a very aggressive stance on, you know, an energy policy that called for aggressive exploration and drilling. And I think that would be the election would be in the bag. But he is.
I want to try something on you for reaction. Everybody thinks an attack on Iran or even the threat of an attack would send oil prices even higher. I have a contrary theory. I suggest it's just possible that if we do a hard, fast ass-kicking on those crazy mullahs in Iran, the rest of the OPECers just might say, wait a minute, they pushed the Americans too far and look what happened to them. Maybe it would be better for us if we were a little more cooperative. You think that's possible?
I think you might have something there, Lee. You got to keep in mind, with regard to Middle East politics, you know, the Saudis are deathly afraid of Iran. Many of the Arab Gulf states, deathly afraid of Iran. Egypt is afraid of Iran. We actually have most of these guys on our side if we take on Iran.
Of course, they'll raise hell for public consumption. They'll raise blue bloody hell.
Yes, and it would send the stock market into a tailspin. I mean, you know, because they're a bunch of nervous Nellies over there. That's all, you know, psychology. But in terms of oil prices, short-term, long-term, I don't think it would have a negative impact and probably would, you know, long-term improve the situation.
I drive liberals, self-torturing liberals who listen to this program crazy when I say, and that's one reason I keep saying it, I submit that many of our problems in the world today are a direct result of one fact. Nobody is afraid of us anymore. We even had this tinker toy government over in Iraq saying they'll tell us when our troops have to leave. Every bully and tyrant in the world, even little ones, think they can attack the United States with impunity and get away with it. Why? Because we've allowed it to happen over and over and over.
And, you know, you can almost point to a specific time when this began, and it was in the Jimmy Carter administration. And isn't it ironically that, you know, we seem to be, as a nation, on the verge of electing, you know, Jimmy Carter too? Is that what Barack Obama is? You know, you talk about the situation in Iran, which is, you know, as serious as anything we face as a nation in terms of national security. And, you know, that was a situation created by Jimmy Carter in his effort to pull the rug out from under the Shah, who was, you know, obviously no Democrat, no nice guy, but compared with what we've got in Iran today. I mean,
well, it proves the validity of the old saying that it is possible to leap out of frying pans into fires, and that's what that moron Carter got us into.
Excellent way of putting it.
You're about the only media person I know who is as contemptuous as I of these two losers we have running for president. There are well-meaning people who keep telling me I have a duty to support John McCain because Obama is so awful. Well, what do you think we'll get if McCain does come from behind and Obama hands him the election over something like gasoline prices? What do you think we'll get with McCain presidency and obviously Democrat control of both houses of Congress?
Right. I have a book coming out, as a matter of fact, next month on this very subject, and it is my thesis that we would be better off as a country, and I'm not advocating a vote for Barack Obama, but as a country, we would be better off taking our medicine now with Barack Obama and the Democratic Congress than the split, you know, with a Republican president and Democratic Congress. And the simple reason is this. Barack Obama and the Democratic Congress are going to do some nasty things to this country if they are in power. And it won't even take 4 years. It'll take 2 years for the American people, I believe, to realize what's happening to them, how they're getting screwed, and they will know who to blame because the Democrats have complete control of the government apparatus. And they'll punish him at the polls, hopefully, in 2 years or 4 years. Now, if you've got McCain in charge as a president, the American people are not that sophisticated politically. Who are they going to blame at that point? They're going to blame McCain and the Republicans. And we're going to get Barack Obama anyway 4 years later and the Democratic Congress, and we'll be worse off as a result. I say take, you know, I am strongly advocating a position of not voting for either one of these losers, McCain or Obama. Let fate take its course, and you know, we're in for some tough times. Either way, it's not going to be a picnic if McCain is elected, and it's certainly going to be you know, a tough time for this country if Barack Obama is elected. But you know what? This country is strong enough and resilient enough to survive either one of them. I just think we'll be better off. You know, the example I could give you, again, is the Carter example. Carter paved the way for Reagan. We would not have had Reagan in 1980 if we didn't go through that malaise that was created by Jimmy Carter and the Democrats from 1977 until 1980. I mean, you know, you could say Jimmy Carter was the John the Baptist for Ronald Reagan. Maybe that's what we need to see in this country.
It could very well be, but we had Ronald Reagan waiting in the wings. We don't have a Ronald Reagan waiting in the wings right now that I know of.
Well, yeah, I don't know of one either, but you know, there's lots of names being thrown out.
His name may be Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana. Maybe.
Maybe.
Without him to swear that he's, you know, the second coming of Ronald Reagan. But, you know, I got to believe there's still some leadership in this country somewhere out there. You know, in 1976, everyone thought Ronald Reagan was washed up. Nobody imagined that Ronald Reagan was going to come back to be a serious contender for the presidency again. So who knows what can happen, Lee? I just know that if McCain is elected, the Republican Party may never recover from that again, because the story he is going to tell, he's already telling it, let's face it, that the way to victory for Republican candidates is to reach across the aisle and become more like the Democrats. And it's gonna, if he wins, it's going to be very hard to negate what he's saying.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you have the theory of creative destruction. Let Obama, the Democrats, screw up everything and pay the price for it.
Bring it up.
I mean, we know what John McCain would do as president. He hates conservatives. He would poke a stick in our eye at every opportunity out of sheer spite. We know he would do that because it's what he does at every opportunity.
That's right. And plus, you get most of the same political agenda. You get, you know, billions spent on global warming. You get amnesty. You know, you get the same agenda anyway with John McCain. And some people say, well, what about the judges? You know, John McCain is much more likely to appoint good justices to the Supreme Court, Farrah, you know, that alone. And I say, no, this was the guy who formed the Gang of 14 to stop George Bush's best judges from being confirmed by the U.S. Senate. This is the guy you want to appoint your judges? It's unbelievable.
That's the last resort of desperate Republicans. That really is. Oh, it's about the judges. Bull bleep. Look at all these Republican-appointed judges who made some of these horrible decisions at both the federal level and in the California Supreme Court lately. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back with Joe Farrah, the head of WorldNet Daily, on the web at worldnetdaily.com. It's Hot Talk 560 KSFO. 726 and OV checks out the Bay Area commute.
Now San Mateo, 101 northbound after 92. We've got an accident there. Car's hood flew up and struck its windshield. The car's now over the right-hand shoulder. That's one of those scary kind of hope it never happens again kind of things. Arnold Drive, Boys Hot Spring. Arnold Drive at Boys Boulevard. Two cars involved in a crash there. Both went into the ditch. Possible injuries. We go to the Harbor Bay Ferry system. Some delays with mechanical problems on the Bay Breeze forced cancellation of the some of the early morning runs this morning. And Oakland 13 southbound before Park Boulevard. It's an accident off to the right-hand shoulder. To appreciate the new Jaguar XF and experience the thrill of Formula One-style paddle shifters, take it for a quick test drive at your local Jaguar dealer. This is the new Jaguar. And it's Officer Sleep Train Vic here with Sleep Train's Interest Free for Three event on now. If free financing on your new mattress seems like a dream, well, then get on board the Sleep Train for no down payment and no interest for up to 3 full years. Get interest-free financing until 2011. You heard right. Hurry into Sleep Train. Get your good credit. Take it with you and pay no down payment and no interest for up to 36 full months. Unbeatable prices on select comfort, Tempur-Pedic, Beautyrest, Posturepedic mattress sets. Sleep Train's low price guarantee means they're going to beat anyone's price, even sale prices, for a full 90 days after you purchase. So get into Sleep Train today. Locations near you throughout the Bay Area. Mention Officer Vic and KSFO. Superior service, best selection, unbeatable prices. Sleep Train is your ticket to a better night's sleep.
You're waking up with Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
But Joe Farah, the head of World Net Daily, worldnetdaily.com, you have suggested, in light of the fact that we have two utterly disastrous candidates for president this year, that people expend their political energy trying to do something about Congress.
Exactly.
Can you make it happen in even a few cases, except where we know some Republicans are going to get a well-deserved butt-kicking by Democrats in November? But no matter how low the approval rating of Congress, the incumbents keep getting reelected.
Exactly right. You know, and I know, Lee, that most people look at the Congress as an institution. They say, oh, it's a disaster. But for some reason, they look at their own congressman or congresswoman as somehow a good person, and so they give them a pass. And, you know, we have a little bit of time here, and I'm not predicting that this is going to happen. But if we can get people thinking clearly on this, we have a chance, as thin as it might be, of creating, you know, a kind of electoral revolution here. I know the alternatives are not great. In other words, you can't look at the Republicans and say these guys are giving us a picture of where we need to go. But if it's an idea that we throw out incumbents across the board, that would be an extremely positive message to get across. It's simple. I think people can embrace that. And if people will stop, this endless wrestling with, should I vote for McCain or should I, no matter what you do on the presidential side, it's going to be a terrible, the country's, we just don't have a choice on the presidential side, but we still have a chance to affect the direction of Congress for the next couple of years. Make it happen. I mean, that's what we should be doing. We should be mobilizing across this country to throw the bums out.
By the way, I'm glad World Net Daily is giving some attention to this attack on talk radio by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. To your average, dumb, gullible voter, yes, I mean exactly what I say. The very words, fairness doctrine. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Would you give it? We have just a couple of minutes left, but would you give the short version of what that really means and what Pelosi and company are trying to do?
For people old enough to remember what talk radio was like before 1987 when the Fairness Doctrine was scrapped, they'll have a picture. There were 75 talk radio programs, Lee, in the country, local and national, syndicated and non-syndicated. What we have since the Fairness Doctrine was scrapped is we had a rebirth of debate and dialogue in this country like we've never had before. And there are now 3,500 radio talk shows of all political stripes being broadcast in this country. What the Democrats would like to do is stifle that debate and that dialogue, take us back to pre-1987 days when basically, three networks told us what to think. Three television networks. That was, where we got our information from. People need to recognize Congress has that power, and it's not a legitimate power that they have, but if they use it, they, talk radio could go back to where we were in 1987.
I remember when that idiotic policy was in place, and broadcasting people wasted hours debating whether or not to a specific broadcast item, it would not put it on the air because it might be subject to the equal time provision. And the result was the order came down in almost every broadcasting operation. The order came down. Never say anything that anybody might regard as controversial because it's more trouble than it's worth. Everything had to be totally bland. And all of this now comes about today because the liberals have tried repeatedly to take on conservatives in the talk radio arena, and we have been kicking their asses royally every time. Look at that debacle called Air America, total flop. So they can't win a fair fight. So they do what whining liberal crybabies have always done. They run to mommy, the government, to get the game rigged in their favor. That's what it's about. That's all it's about.
It truly is, and it's not like we don't have history here to evaluate the two ways to go. And ordinary people can distinguish between what we've seen in the last 20 years in terms of free speech and what we saw before. And don't let that happen. Don't let these guys go back into power. This is what they're planning. They've shown their cards.
Oh, yeah. If they get what they want, this program, Rush, a lot of others,
and then
will be shut down. That's all.
McCain has no use for talk radio either. He hears what even Rush is saying about him. He's not going to have any sympathy for talk radio if he's a
no
choice.
I can't imagine why anybody would think they would persuade me to vote for John McCain. Snow will be 20 feet deep in the southwest corner of hell before that happens. And yes, I know the threat that Obama represents. To me, McCain's threat is just of a different type and perhaps more sinister because he's sneakier about it.
I think you're right.
Joe Farah, you can read him regularly. We've hit the time wall, Joe. You can read him regularly on the web at worldnetdaily.com. Thank you. Good to have you on the program again.
God bless.
It's Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Big Buck, ready to go with the stock market numbers from the Wall Street Journal. What's up?
Yes, back in the days when I had to hang on the wall my radio telephone license.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So you could take transmitter readings?
Yes, absolutely.
You have the big blue one or the small blue one?
And I have the small blue one.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, that was the third
phone. Yeah.
I had the big one.
Right. Me too.
Yes, when you had to actually use math sometimes to calculate the transmitter readings, the power output.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Dow down about 23 points right now at 11,425. NASDAQ off by 35. Yep. The S&P down 4. Stocks retreated after disappointing earnings from some technology companies. That's why you have such a crunch on the NASDAQ, since that's tech heavy. And higher oil prices, that offset a more upbeat report from Citigroup. Stock in Citigroup, part of the Dow average, up 8.5%. Crude oil up more than a buck and a half at $130.93 a barrel, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury note at 4.024%. How about a piece of Freddie, eh? Mortgage giant Freddie Mac is thinking about raising cash by selling as much as $10 billion in new stock to investors.
You haven't been hanging out in the Castro, have you? Lines like, how about a piece of Freddie?
Yeah. A great many people here thought Freddie Mac was Freddie Mercury.
No. We'll not go there. Yes. No. Sorry. Freddie Mac, by the way, the mortgage giant,
up
6% in stock, by the by. Once again, the Dow down 26.
Any other banks going under today?
Not that I know of at this point, but, it's still early, so give it time. NASDAQ down 35, S&P down 4. I'm Buck McQuillan at the Wall Street Journal on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
18 minutes before 8 o'clock, Bay Area weather yesterday all over again and more the same tomorrow, pretty much. Charles Krauthammer, one of the brightest political analysts around, thinks the Obama ego may be starting to impact on the American public. He writes today, I'm reading his column here, it says Americans are beginning to notice Obama's elevated opinion of himself. There's nothing new about narcissism in politics. Every senator looks in the mirror and sees a president. Nonetheless, has there ever been a presidential nominee with a wider gap between his estimation of himself and the sum total of his lifetime achievements? Obama is a 3-year senator without a single important legislative achievement to his name. He is a former Illinois state senator who voted present nearly 130 times. That means you don't want to take a stand and vote one way or the other on a piece of legislation. So you just vote present, and you don't have to take a position. Doesn't work that well in the Oval Office.
No,
you can't just vote present.
No.
As president of the Harvard Law Review, as a law professor, and as a legislator, has Barack Obama ever produced a single notable piece of scholarship? Written a single memorable article? His most memorable work is a biography of his favorite subject, himself. He lectures us that instead of worrying about immigrants learning English, You need to make sure your child can speak Spanish, a language Obama does not speak. He further admonishes us on how embarrassing it is that Europeans are multilingual, but we go over to Europe and all we can say is merci beaucoup. Obama speaks no French.
Nope.
His wife assures us that President Obama will be a stern taskmaster. She said, quote, Barack Obama will require you to work. He is going to demand that you shed your cynicism, that you come out of your isolation. Barack will never allow you to go back to your lives as usual, uninvolved, uninformed, unquote. So writes Charles Krauthammer, and maybe more people ought to be asking, just who the hell does this guy think he is? He is going to force us to change our way of life, blah, blah, blah. My answer to that is, screw you, pal. Not to put too fine a point on it. God, what a horrible, horrible set of choices. The good word on tomatoes is the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, says they're now safe to eat. All kinds of tomatoes are okay, but they still don't know what's causing the salmonella outbreak that's made more than 1,200 people sick.
Why are tomatoes now okay to eat? The FDA says farms they were first suspicious of are no longer shipping tomatoes, and they found no signs of salmonella up and down the tomato distribution chain. The focus now is on jalapeno and serrano peppers, which are often mixed with tomatoes. The FDA continues to insist that the early cases of salmonella pointed toward tomatoes and that they were right to warn the public. But the industry is up in arms, saying they've lost hundreds of millions of dollars for what they believe is no good reason. Lisa Stark, ABC News, Washington.
It's not clear exactly at what point in his European and Middle East trip that Barack Obama is going to go to Iraq. But ABC's Jake Tapper says when he gets there, he can expect an earful about his campaign promise to pull American combat troops out of Iraq.
It's likely that when he goes to Iraq and meets with American generals there, as well as Iraqi government officials, he'll be told that his plan to withdraw almost all U.S. troops from Iraq within 16 months of taking office will undo much of the security gains that has happened in the last year and a half since the surge started. The question is, how will Obama handle the new information? Will he recalibrate his plan, or will he stick with it and just expect the commanders on the ground and the Iraqi government to carry out his wishes despite their recommendations?
Also on the military front, the Army's plan to use pigs for medical training over in out in Hawaii, it's drawing fire from animal advocates. Here's what's going on.
The Army plans to shoot the pigs first, then treat the wounds to train soldiers headed to Iraq how to manage when no medics are nearby. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals says the training is cruel and that high-tech human simulators could be used. But the Army says using real wounds is critical to saving the lives of soldiers. Brad Farrell, ABC News.
It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock, Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Bay Area weather today and tomorrow, more of yesterday, really, and that's about it.
You're waking up with Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
There's wonderful news this morning, OV.
Yes.
Well, wonderful for me, anyway. Here's the latest. I expect the time will come when I will ask of you to donate some body parts.
Okay.
Kidneys always a possibility.
Sure, absolutely.
Here's the good news. When I call up and say, OV, I need a kidney, this is going to make it a whole lot easier for you to say enthusiastically, yeah, bro, glad to do it. Surgeons at the Cleveland Clinic have developed a procedure that can remove the kidney through a small incision in the donor's navel. Are
Whoa.
You an innie or an outie, by the way?
Do we want to know this? Innie.
Innie. It'll be a piece of cake. Hardly any scar.
Sure, just a little. And then.
And then they pull it out. They say they've performed the procedure about a dozen times. There's a much quicker recovery time. So we'll both be much happier.
Sure.
They got some wizard doctors there at the Cleveland Clinic when I was doing a consulting job at radio station Cleveland several years ago, trying to fix Art Modell's dead radio station.
Ooh.
I had to fall on ice and hyperextended my left knee, and I'm crutches, going to work every day on crutches, and it was wretched. And Art himself sent me to the doctor at the Cleveland Clinic, who took care of his Cleveland Browns football players. Of course, the knee injury is common in football. I went in on crutches. I walked out without them. About an hour later.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you were in a wheelchair then.
No, I was a strutting.
You really walked out without the crutches.
Yes, absolutely.
My heavens.
Celebrated by going to Niagara Falls for the weekend. I'd never been to Niagara Falls.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know, it was an easy drive away from Cleveland, really, to go up there.
Yeah.
Do we need to update the traffic? We got anything else going
on? Couldn't hurt. Let me see if I can do this without cliches or cutesyisms here. Hercules 4 eastbound before Willow. We've got an accident off the right-hand shoulder. One car involved there. Richmond 580 eastbound the ramp to southbound 23rd Street. Disabled vehicle. It's an abandoned car facing the wrong way on the off-ramp. Antioch 4 westbound between Lone Tree and Summersville. Slow going. And 880 southbound between A Street and 92 Jackson. Slow going at that location. It's Officer Vic, Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
5 minutes before 8 o'clock. Got some morning low clouds and foggishness around, and then it'll be mostly sunny all around the Bay Area. 60s for highs along the coast, upper 60s to lower 80s. Around the bay, mid to upper 80s inland, and tomorrow will be, again, more of the same. We have, before we get to Mr. Limbaugh here, we have this distressing news item from Taiwan, where the lovely Lin Gu and a Mr. Li Shen went off a 100-foot cliff in a car. They did survive, a few broken bones, a few bruises, and things may get worse for the lovely Lin Gu.
Yes.
Because, well, here's what happened. She and Mr. Li Shen had parked near the edge of a mountain, and they failed to set the parking brake, got into the back seat, and began doing the horizontal mambo. The
car starts
ocean
shaking.
Motion.
Yes,
the ocean motion caused the car to roll right off the cliff. Though we don't know whether orgasm was achieved. We're unable to confirm that one way or the other, but we do know that the lovely Lin Gu is afraid her husband is going to find out. Which seems
quite
possible,
likely.
Since her name is all over the Taiwan newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it could happen to anybody. Mr. Limbaugh wants to talk to you.
You know, it used to be disgruntled students showed dissatisfaction with a teacher by muttering wisecracks, passing notes, or throwing spitballs. The more adventurous might even play harmless practical jokes. Students today are a different breed. Group of third graders attending Center Elementary School in South Georgia took exception when their teacher disciplined one of them for standing on a chair in class. So the 8 and 9-year-olds decided to take matters into their own hands. One came to school with a broken steak knife. Others brought handcuffs, duct tape, blunt instruments, and other items. The third graders also handed out assignments to themselves. One's job was to cover the windows to prevent anybody from witnessing the planned attack. Another was supposed to clean up the crime scene after the attack. In all, at least 9, these little angels were involved. The cops are notified after some busybody kid informed a teacher. Waycross, Georgia Police Chief Tony Tanner said that there was no evidence that the kids intended to kill the teacher, but they could have accidentally killed her. Well, that's a hell of a difference. The students, you'll be happy to learn, are too young to be charged criminally under Georgia law. They've been suspended while officials determine what to do with them. And you'll be even happier to know, folks, that the school's principal, Angie Coleman, considers the kiddie mob plot, an isolated incident. We have good kids, she said. Yes, indeed. Good kids, aren't they all? Good kids, bright, promising futures. Really good kids. Blame the teacher. They work well with others, too.
Rush is coming up at 9 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Hot Talk 560 KSFO, San Francisco.